Welcome to this month's Talking Football podcast with myself, the Courier Sports Editor Eric Nicholson, our sports writer Ian Roach and our columnist Jim Spence. Well, it makes a change for Dundee United not to be Tayside's crisis club, so we'll put them down the batting order on this occasion and we can open up with Dundee. Ian, you've seen a fair bit of Dundee of late. I think you were on the pre-season trip and I think you've done three other games as well. Did you see Saturday's result coming?
No, I didn't. I wouldn't call them a crisis club, but it wasn't. You couldn't see it coming down the road. It was a terrible, terrible performance. To be fair to everyone at Dens, there was no one arguing with that opinion. Particularly Neil McCann, who said it could have been even more than three. He was absolutely right about that. The pre-season trip went great. The manager was upbeat, positive, friendly to the media, and it was a great trip. And it looked like the players were in good shape.
The new signings mixing at that point, they must have had at least, five or six of them?
Yeah, they had a few in and they were all looking good. To be fair, in the first two league games, it's been a case of Dundee playing quite well and just not scoring. Their play has been fine. Quite rightly, Neil McCann has pointed out that they should have had more than... Well, the no points that they've got, they should have at least maybe a 1 point out of the two games.
St Mirren, was that their best performance?
St Mirren, they should have won. Probably, I think they should have won that game. They were close to doing so. It was a blunders that cost them that day. So things have been going against them as far as luck goes. But it wasn't the case on Saturday. It was a case of Dundee not showing up for the game. Too much ineffective passing. At no time did they look like winning. It was really, really quite depressing for the fans, as I would imagine.
How quickly did it appear? Did you see which way it was going?
Yeah, right from the start, Ayr United were very good. Excellent side, which is a warning to everybody in the Championship, I have to say as well. And it looked like they were the team that was going to win on the day. The red cards had no impact on the match at all. In my opinion, I thought it would have been an Ayr victory anyway, and of course McCann's day got worse because of Warren Shanklin scoring, who was a target for them, transfer target for them in the summer, and he scored two fine goals, and that was it.
I mean, Jim, these cup defeats that Dundee seem to perennially get at home, they're almost a self-fulfilling prophecy now, aren't they? They do seem to come round often.
They do. I mean, that's the nature of the cup being. I mean, even, you know, I saw somebody mentioning the day that even in Sir Alex Ferguson's great days at Aberdeen, the great Aberdeen side were pumped at one of the cups, I think by Airdrie's, I recall, you know, at one stage. But I mean, so these things happen, and you know, without kind of making excuses for Dundee or Neil McCann, Ayr United are actually developing a very good side. I mean, you know, they've started off, they're off to a wee flyer under Ian McCall, and Shankland is a fine striker. They're off to a flyer in the Championship. That said, you would still take the Premiership side to beat them. So I mean, I think Neil has kind of, he's got several issues, I think, that are facing him. I mean, firstly, he's got to find somebody to put the ball in the net. You know, I agree with Ian, a lot of their play, a lot of their link-up play is actually really tidy. There's other things that I suppose we're going to look at during the course of the podcast.
He's brought a few strikers, it's not as if
he
hasn't.
Player identification, you know, Jeff Brown always used to say to me the key thing for when he looks for a manager, you know, when he was looking for a manager at St Johnstone, and Jeff's been through a few, was what are their player identification skills like? You know, I mean, you can watch guys from now to doomsday kind of on videos and all the rest. You've got to watch guys in the flesh. You've got to be able to, you know, to ensure that what you're signing, whether he's a striker, can put the ball in the net, if he's a defender, can defend, you know. And they need somebody who can hit the net on a regular basis. You're looking for somebody who can hit the net 10, 15 times a season, you know. And at the moment, I don't see where that comes from. So that's an issue for him.
I mean, every signing is a risk, let alone every striker signing is a risk. But they do seem to have a type now, don't they? They're going down the route of players who've kind of either, you know, the English non-leagues or the foreign route. And does that make it an even bigger risk?
I think that, I suppose you're kind of asking here, I suppose, is, you know, is there something unique about the Scottish game? Because people will say, you know, people have to adapt to the Scottish game. And sometimes you look at teams and you think, well, there's about three Scots in that team and three Scots in that team. But the mentality, I think, of the game quickly pins people down who come to the game. It's still sometimes a kind of 100 mile an hour. And, I mean, I saw them against Dunfermline And while I thought they were really at times quite tidy and trying to be quite slick on the ball, Dunfermline jumped all over the top of them, and I think that's one of the issues. And
in midfield,
and what that did was that stopped the ball getting forward to a striker. So I mean, a striker's only as good as the supply that he gets, whether it's kind of, you know, through the channels or whether it's balls in from the wings. And looking at kind of what they had their team the other day with Mendy and Naby up front, seen Mendy, he looks tidy, but you know, is he an out and out goal scorer? Is he an out and out striker? Not sure, you know.
No, he looks like a good front player. You know, I always see front players as being different from actual goal scorers. You know, yeah. And he does look like a good forward player, but they're needing the cutting edge there. I mean, there have been some. I appreciate everything that's been said, but there have been some mitigating circumstances for Dundee. I mean, you had the daft goalkeeping blunder in the St Mirren game when they were going well. You had the crazy handball penalty against Aberdeen. And then Sophie and Musa, 15 minutes on as a sub. Three fouls it should have been bookings, actually. I mean, he should have got booked for... He could have got booked for all three of them, if that was possible.
Is there a way back
for 15 minutes and then he's off?
Is there a way back for that? I know he played for the reserves, but...
I think there will be a way back for him,
didn't he?
Yeah. He holds the ball up well. There's things that he's good at, but... It doesn't look like he's the answer to the goals problem.
I think in the absence of, if you can't find a striker, what you're then looking for is your midfielder come up with some goals as well. You know, for the guys who are pushing on to be able to kind of, you know, ping a few between them from, you know, edge of the box, outside the box, or make the runs forward to the box. You know, I mean, let's be fair here. I mean, everybody's looking for a quality striker. I mean, it's the most difficult position in the game to fill. A good striker, a guy who will bang you kind of 10, 12, 15 goals a season. And therefore, the really good ones are going to clubs where much better money is paid than is paid at Dens Park. And Dundee pay handsomely. I mean, Dundee traditionally have been a well-paying club, but they will not pay the money that Hearts will pay. They'll not pay the money that Aberdeen will pay or that Hibs will pay at the moment. So
presumably, they'd have paid... They pay equal or above St Johnstone, for example. Tony Watt, for example. Have they missed a trick there?
And that's why, potentially, I mean, I spoke to Tony, after the East 5 game, I think it was.
He was in training at Dundee, wasn't he, for a bit?
Well, I mean, you know, he's to me, potentially, he's a big miss. I mean, he's a quality player. I know you've got... He did say to me that he'd come to Tommy, right? Now, maybe this comes on to Neil's managerial style, because he said he came to Tommy because Tommy doesn't kind of mess about. He will give him harsh truths. He will tell him the truth. He won't be the type of guy that will kind of cause at him when actually what he needs is a kick up the backside. And he seems to respond to that. Now Neil does like to give guys a kick up the backside, as we've seen. Not physically, maybe he does, you know. But I mean, you know, he does like to tell guys a few home truths. So maybe he would have responded well there. Now, Tony said to me he was intending and getting into double figures. So did Dundee miss a trick? Well, we'll soon find out whether he did or not. But the early prognosis from seeing Tony Watt at St Johnstone to me looks quite good, and once he gets fitter, it's going to be even better.
I mean, I think we'll come on to the game in a wee bit. The striker issue has been there for weeks, everybody's seen it. But I'm guessing from last weekend, the bigger issue is if you see a team collapse, as worry. That's a worry, isn't it?
That's a mentality thing, Ian, isn't it? You know, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, one of the things, I suppose, that we're talking about is what's the major issue that Neil has. He's got quite a few issues, but I think a major issue is about the mentality of his side. And you know, one of the things that struck me as I was driving out down today, I was thinking about this. I mean, one of the things I wonder about the type of player that is being attracted to the Scottish game, sometimes from the lower reaches, England and all the rest, is dealing with the Scottish mentality. I mean, Neil McCann comes from a kind of pretty humble working class background down in Greenock. He's a tough wee cookie. He's had to work and graft hard.
Port Glasgow, I think.
Port Glasgow area, you know, Greenock. You know, he's a hard wee man. You know, I mean, there's not much of him, but he was physically tough, and he was an exceedingly good player. Good touch, great pace, and all the rest of that. I think one big issue sometimes might be dealing with boys that actually kind of do the things he wants them to be able to do, because he could do them. That's a big issue for a lot of guys who have been very talented players.
But there's talent in the team. Mm-hmm. We have to accept that. I mean, if you would ask the average ordinary Dundee fans what's been the successes this season, you would say Elton Ngotwala and Karol Madianga.
Yeah.
Midfielders. Also, Naby had had a good game. Adel Naby, he had a good game on Saturday. He was one of the few successes. So in the midfield area, there's creativity there. And they can also get goals from that area, hopefully, as the season goes on and these players get more confident and fit in a bit. But they'll need them from that area. But they'll also, the main thing is having people in front of them scoring. And then we go back to the big problem, which is the strikers.
Mm-hmm. And one of the talking points just now, I mean, if you've got two big earners, presumably, two big names in the club, two big personalities, Darren O'Day and Stephen Caulker. Now, Stephen Caulker, we're told, is definitely not injured. Mm-hmm. Darren O'Day has had injury problems. That can be an issue at a club when you've got two big beasts like that in the dressing room and they're not playing.
It's the biggest issue that any modern manager faces is twofold. One, he's got to be a good coach. He's got to be a good manager. And the two things are not necessarily synonymous. And much of that, I think, ties in with, you know, what we're saying about Neil McCann and the way he was brought up. I mean, I remember him very early on breaking through the Dundee side with guys like Jimmy Hamilton and Ian Anderson. They were all fine young players with a smashing young Dundee side. Had to work for everything he had. And, I mean, it would have been Jim Duffy at that time, as I recall. You know, now, we all know Duff quite well. He wasn't a manager who stood fools gladly, you know. So, you know, brought up in a fairly hardy environment. So, you know, you tie that in with his kind of mentality, wanting players to do, you know, he'll not change his philosophy, for instance, wanting players to do things his way. Now, Neil McCann isn't going to come out and say, there's been a fallout with Joe Bloggs or
nor would we expect him to.
No, exactly. I mean, you simply kind of do these things. I mean, there are certain things you can say, you can get into public, maybe just to give a player a wee kick in the backside or give a wee player a shove along. But, I mean, by and large, in any workplace, you or I wouldn't like our bosses coming out and saying, look, there's an issue here, there's an issue there, you know. So you've got to be really, really cute as a manager to deal with big personalities who sometimes think, you're in the wrong there, and I'm in the right, and that's a really difficult thing, particularly when you've got probably, you know, a first team squad of 22 people, you've probably got 5, 6, 7 big personalities, you know, and that's a difficult one.
The elephant in the room is Caulker, though, isn't it? I mean, he is fit, and I think the fans are quite right to question.
He's on big money as well, that's the other
thing. He's sitting on the bench. He's on big money, and also he's a prize asset of the club.
Well, it was reputed to be £1 million-plus move.
One of the prize assets at the club, and Neil McCann's only praised them. He's only praised them this season. You know, so the fans are quite right to query why that's the case. Kamara was he was out as well, but he's coming back. He's fit again, but for Caulker to be fit and not playing in a team that lost goals like they did on Saturday, I think that's the fans are quite entitled to wonder.
If he's not playing on Saturday, you would think there's something seriously wrong.
I probably think he won't be playing on Saturday. I mean, you know, I think he'll come in. And we'll see what happens. But he's going to play well. He's a good player.
Well, he's a class act, isn't he? I mean, I wonder with Cammy Kerr. Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, you're never entirely party to what goes on behind the scenes. But I mean, Cammy Kerr, we all know him, local boy, Moneyfield High School. He bleeds dark blue. He would die for that jersey.
You say you're wondering the fact where he's out the team, well, or sometimes at left back. Just
I mean, to me, Cammy Kerr, if you gave Cammy Kerr the goalkeeper's jersey, he would play. He's a red hot Dundee fan. You know,
that's exactly right. And he played left back. Unfortunately, he was involved in the Jack Hamilton goal at St Mirren. But Cammy's one who is again fit. When he's coming on, he's getting maybe pushed into a different position. So, you know, why is that happening? It's fair enough. The manager's quite entitled to pick someone else if he thinks he's better than Cammy Kerr in that position. But I don't know if that's
I was talking the other day to well-known Dundee fan Robin Grimmond, who used to edit one of the fanzines. Now Robin is a dark blue of long, long standing and kind of, I think, very well respected among the Dundee support. And he was saying, look, the central defence is a bomb scare, you know. And he was making the play for Caulker, same as you, and he cannot understand why Caulker isn't playing. I mean, Caulker, you know, an England cap, you look at the pedigree he's had, we know he's had issues off the park, but on the park, I've seen him, I mean, he looks a class act. He looks a class above everything else around about him. So if you've got that kind of quality, Dundee fans are absolutely entitled to say, why is this guy not playing?
It is one of the areas though where managers get defensive. I mean, when you start saying why is so and so not playing,
well, it can only be one manager.
They get their back up and say, well, I'm the one who's paid to pick the team.
That's right.
I'm not going to tell you my team.
No, that's right. And they put the managers put their neck in the chopping block. I mean, it's we can all, whether we're journalists or fans, and most journalists are fans anyway, but we can all sit and pontificate. We don't always know the absolute inside story. Sometimes we've got a fair chunk of it. Sometimes we've got 99% of it. We don't always. We'd like if managers came out and said, here's the reason, or here's the real reason, for various tactful reasons, and for keeping kind of players' peckers up, if you want, they'll not do. And you've got the other thing is you've got the rest of the dressing room to think about as well. You know, I mean, if there are issues with Cocker and the reasons that he's not playing, perhaps, you know, just genuine, perhaps Neil McCann just doesn't think he's playing well enough, or his attitude in training is not. You can speculate from now to doomsday, but you've got the rest of the dressing. You've got 22 of a first team squad to keep happy.
The English transfer window just closed. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe he was hoping he would get a move back down south. You just don't know, do you?
Well, I mean, I would have thought from a Dundee perspective, we're hoping one of two things. One, that he kind of solidified them for this season in the Premier League. Or on a short term basis, you know, they got him a move for $1 million+, and that fee will, you know, a guy like Cocker, that fee will be split. However, it's, you know, whether it's 60 to the club, 40 a player, or the other way around, who knows? But you'd imagine that would be the split. But Dundee would stand to make potentially quite a handsome chunk of money at that. Now, of course, if he doesn't win, he can only go to wherever the window is still open. I think the window is still open in Turkey, for instance. I mean, I don't think anyone in Scotland is going to shell out over £1 million for him. You know, there were rumours about Celtic and all the rest of them. I don't think anyone's going to shell out £1 million in Scotland for him. So you would assume that unless he goes abroad in the next very, very small kind of period that is left in windows elsewhere, that he's with Dundee through the next transfer window. In which case, if he's not playing, he becomes a financial liability if he's not playing, because he's on big money.
I mean, I think most, if not all, Dundee fans must have been feeling really pleased that the English transfer window shut, and they still had Glenn Kamara and Colker at the club. Kamara's now saying he's going to stay to see it through. We'll have to wait and see what happens with Colker.
The only thing I would say, Ian, is, I mean, I think we're probably all long enough in the tooth now to know that what players say one minute can change the day after. You know, because
he's not going to say anything else, is he?
No, and post Bosman and all the rest of it, you know, I mean, agents get in about players' heads and start to unsettle. Because, you know, let's be honest, agents only make money when players move. You know, it doesn't suit an agent for his player to be at a club for 3 years. It only suits, you see it at the top level at Man United and Liverpool and all the rest, that players have just signed a deal and then, you know, 6 months later the agent's making noises about, well, we'd like to be talking about a new contract because he's got to safeguard his future. So it goes on everywhere, you know.
So to go back to the strikers, what would you do up front?
Well, we've got Benjamin Shalman, I think that's how you pronounce it.
45 today.
Who is a very young and, I think, promising. Certainly, there's good
confident. You did the press conference with him last week.
Yeah, he's confident.
He's a guy that knows the situation he's come into.
Good noises coming out of Finland, and his club did homework on. I thought this was interesting, as did McCann, that the club did homework on Dundee to see if he'd fit in there, and they believed he would. I mean, to be fair, it was a disastrous debut for him. Not through any fault of his own, it has to be said, but he never really had any impact on the game at all. I think we'll need to see him starting before we can judge what he's going to offer. But he looks like the one that they've gone for to get the goals. He said that he would get goals. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. Because I think that would maybe allow Mendy to be more of the number 10 almost that he is. He's not, as we all think, he's not really a poacher. So
we're not expecting to see Moussa back out there at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
Don't know, that's a difficult one. He scored for the reserves the other day.
I think the problem for Neil McCann is
how
long do you persevere with somebody who, isn't supplying what you're looking for. You know, if he's not supplying the goals, how long do you persevere with somebody like that? But, you know, Neil McCann's under pressure like every other manager in the league, and you know, none of us ever wants to see a bloke losing his job, because, you know, apart from anything else, there is, you know, journalist or not, there is the personal element. Most of us have known him for years and years and years, you know. You never want to see a manager under the kind of pressure he's under, you know, and of course, Shabba across the road as well, no doubt we'll come to. But that's the bottom line. I mean, fans are, I mean, it was worrying to see the crowd at Dens on Saturday. I mean, you know, Dundee have to, you know, Tim Keyes is just putting another, is it £500,000 into the club? You know, I mean, the American investors kind of continue to throw money at the club and get nothing.
Yeah, that was a surprise, actually. When they announced it as 3,151 or so, and it was 400, and, you know, there was a 400 Air fan, so it was. You're looking at 2,700 for a Dundee home game, and a game that really, on paper, the
you can
the
be often find it's been more the case with United recently than Dundee. When others are looking in, they can kind of be a bit dismissive about the idea of a manager being under pressure, because they just think two games in, out of the cup in the last 16, ridiculously early. But that kind of, they're not aware of the background and all that's gone before, and all the where fans are and all the rest of it. But Neil is under pressure, isn't he? He is under pressure.
And also the thing about it, you mentioned about being early, but of course, well, it's happened to Kenny Miller. You know, he wouldn't even be the first game.
I was doing it on Saturday. There's no indication that was happening. The next thing on is Sunday, he's out of job.
I mean, I don't think we're at that stage yet, and he could easily they could easily win on. Well, not easily, but they could win on.
And they go above St Johnstone, you know, and a few other clubs, no doubt as well. I mean, we do all know that things change quickly. There have only been two league games played, but we also know, for reasons that we may or may not want to go into, Tommy Wright will have his team fired up. He would have his team fired up for this game anyway. Yeah. There is the wee bit of the history between the two managers. It's going to be, they're going to have to match St Johnstone, aren't they, for the, on the commitment side of things, straight off the bat, aren't they?
I think that, you know, you actually cannot say this about every team, but because every team doesn't actually always give you what you think is 100% commitment. But when you look at St Johnstone, you know, the side that Tommy put out the weekend against Queen of the South, I think he's kind of one player away from probably a quality midfielder.
Centre midfielder,
You know, from being a really good side. I think they're decent at the back. You look at the two backs, you know, Tanzer and Foster, and they've got a good pace there. Shaughnessy and Kerr, interesting kind of combination in the middle there. I think there's lots of talent about the midfield as well, particularly with Davidson. Liam Craig's a player I've got a lot of time for. The Watt thing is really interesting. Mm-hmm. So one player away. But the one thing you never get, I think, less than, is absolute commitment from a St Johnstone side. You know, I mean, you think back to the Scottish Cup final when they beat Dundee United, theoretically going in on paper, United were the better side. St Johnstone never gave them a sniff. You know, they wanted it much more, I thought, on the day than United did. And Tommy, I mean, is Tommy the longest serving manager in the Premier League at the minute? He must be, you know. I mean, he has a way of managing. Now, you know, you allude there to what went on with the two, him and Neil McCann, at Dens last time out. You know, where all sorts of remarks were made afterwards. Now, we've seen that a million times, but usually that's, you know, usually 10 minutes, 20 minutes after that, they're in, you know, the visiting managers aren't having a beer.
We'd be hypocrites to moan about it, wouldn't it? Because it was good. It was good copy for them, you know.
It's great copy. It's great. You know, it's great to kind of chew the fat about, you know, on podcasts like this and all the rest of it. And look, I mean, you would assume that the two of them, you know, they'll put that behind them, but it'll still be the back of their minds, you know.
They're not going to be best pals, are they?
The revenge is a dish best served cold, as you say.
Yeah, I mean, I was all for the bust up because it allowed me to use the word shenanigans in the paper. Which
a much underused word.
Always a positive. But yeah, going back to Saints, though, I mean, it's amazing, though, because I think by all accounts it was a pretty shocking performance down at Kilmarnock on opening day. I only saw TV highlights, but it did look bad. And then I got a good draw against Hibs, but they only got 1 point. You know, it's only 1 point more than Dundee. But the difference is the cup result, isn't it? I mean, they go down there, show character, dig in, difficult place, get a good result. Throughout the next round, whereas Dundee collapsed at home to another championship side.
Cup performances for teams, just look at Motherwell last season. Mm. They make their season. You know, it was an average to below average season for Motherwell.
Yeah.
But they'd had two good cup runs. You know, so if you take one of them straight away, I'm not going to go back over for Dundee there. But they do change the background music, yeah, don't they?
I mean, the interesting thing I think with St Johnstone, what Tommy's done is he's. I mean, a good blur him a few weeks back. I mean, I know you boys speak to him regularly as well. I mean, he's taken the average age of the side.
Dramatically.
I think 4 years or something like that. Is it 24, 23, 24?
Yeah, mid-20s.
He's taken it down to, you know, mid-20s. So he feels that's given him threat. Anyway, I'm always a bit sweary about this notion. I mean, the notion that somewhere around you get 28, 29, the legs are going. I mean, that's a nonsense. But I see across an entire team, mm-hmm. I understand that, why you want to bring kind of fresh energy, fresh kind of vigour to a side. Well, you also want to kind of re-energise the dressing room.
And it did have the look of a team that he caught it just in time last season, didn't it? It looked as if it was maybe going to drop off.
They weren't quite on the zip wire, but they were certainly on. They were in the elevator, that way.
It's interesting.
Going down.
It's interesting. It's interesting your point about players being too old. We were all having a wee giggle in the office the other day when I noticed that Darren Dodds was on the bench for Brechin, and we looked up. He's 43,
just
which is rather spectacular. 43.
He didn't come on there.
Did Rob Geddes not done the goalies years at Dens when he was 48 or something like that?
Rob Douglas was still
playing. Rob's still playing. That's it. I mean,
there's hope for us, yet.
Yeah, just you'd have seen me out jogging this morning, you wouldn't have seen that.
The intriguing one for me for Saints, two of the players that you didn't mention, Jim, is the. They've now, and I can't remember the last time, and I probably should, the last time that Saints had two out-and-out wingers. Now, not wide midfielders, wingers. So it's a total change in emphasis. And I agree with the centre midfielder. I think Tommy will probably agree with you as well. If you could get one central midfielder that could dictate the play, that'd be him. He'd be happy. But he's now got two wingers who both like to attack their fullback, hit the byline. I mean, we're not going back to the days of Moore and Musgrave, are we,
I was going to say, I mean, I started covering games when at St Johnstone when they just moved to McDermott, and the Taunton years in particular, you know, you mentioned it. I mean, it was a joy to watch Saints with Moore and Musgrave raiding down the two flanks and Big Roddy in the middle to ping the ball, and of course, you're a backside the size of kind of the high street in Perth, so you can hold. I mean, it was great to watch. There were flying machines down the two wings. You could beat men, get crosses in, Roddy could stick them away. And I might not be going back to that, but that's, you know, you look at the bench, the McMillan there, Scougal, Callum Henry, I'm quite keen to see.
You're right, Jim. I watched the Colts game at Dallas, and he was excellent. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. Looked like a good first Premier League first team.
Comes off a great start, doesn't he?
Well, the pedigree does help, doesn't it?
I'm sure
it helps you get in the door in the first place. But
I'm sure Mike Collins kind of been able to pass a few tips on him. You know,
he's a young man who's seems very confident, and as Ian said, he certainly took his chance for the Colts, and then he got 10 minutes down at Dumfries. I did their game down at Dumfries, and he was the second sub after McMillan. But on that performance, he may get closer to being the first choice after Tony Watt. He's only playing one striker at the moment, so that's kind of how he's going. But it's intriguing because, I mean, I for one cannot believe that, and I know that Championship clubs in this league know that he's available and it's not going to cost a fortune, that none of them have decided to take him. But the further this goes on, I mean, say he comes off the bench and scores a winner against Dundee, Tommy's going to think, I'm actually going to send him away.
Something like a choice. I mean, the thing is, we talk all the time, in journalism, and fans do as well, about young players and needing time and all the rest of it. Sometimes young men come along and just batter the door. You know, they're hungry, they've got drive, they've got energy, they've got commitment. They think they should be in the first team, and that's what you're wanting. You know, you really don't want a young boy who's kind of saying, oh, I need another couple of years, boys. You want a boy who says, why am I in the first team? I'm better than him. I'm better than what you've got in your first choice. I mean, football should be a game for big heads. I mean, it actually should. Yeah. You know, you should be looking at players who, to use a well kind of trodden word, concomitant with that is going to be ability. Yeah. But you're looking for a young boy to batter the door.
Well, that's even better than Shenanigans.
Well, he was Henry was signed a year ago. He was signed a year ago, but I think Blackburn had let him go, and he was signed for the 20s. And I think, I could be wrong, I think it was within about a week or two that they decided to put him in the senior squad, because I think it was Callum Davison, I remember telling telling us that it was his leap, and no surprise given his stock. Yeah. And but like you say, there was a boy that took his chance, went from the 20s into the senior squad, and now he's probably thinking, I've scored 2 weeks in a row. He thinks he scored for the reserves in the game you were talking about. So there's your three games in a row.
This is a good platform as well. I mean, St Johnstone would be a good platform for him to come in, make his mark in the game. And let's be honest. I mean, players are going to come to the Scottish Premiership or start in the Scottish Premiership with ambition, if they've got ambition of going elsewhere, usually south of the border, either the Championship or the Premiership, And we sometimes knock the game, but there is a wee, I'm sensing a wee tendency again for English clubs to maybe look up here again, a wee bit more. Sometimes we can be doom and gloom about the game here, and it's quite strange that, like McGinn has gone off to Aston Villa, at the same time as we are filling teams now with boys coming from kind of Vanarama League and all the rest of it. Maybe. There are actually players going south again.
It's no surprise I would say this, but maybe Andy Robertson's doing sending a ripple.
Yeah,
right,
I think it's a very good point.
Barry Douglas to a lesser extent, I suppose, as well.
I mean, if people will be thinking, well, there's more. I mean, I was at a game at Brechin last year, and I was sitting next to the Everton scout. Mm-hmm. And, he was up, I'm trying to remember who it was that were playing. It might have been Inverness, And he was up, he says, Scotland, we still think Scotland potentially is a fertile breeding ground. We watch every, we watch a game every week. So, the top English clubs and the lower division English clubs are watching as well when they've got their scouts up. It's potentially for Henry, it's a great way to kind of kickstart his career.
So if you're Neil McCann, what's your tactics and approach to this game? And if you're Tommy Wright, presumably you're going to try and get down the flanks. Dundee have had their issues at left back, haven't they? You mentioned Cammy Kerr deputising there a bit.
I think this is not so much about tactics for Neil on. So we know he likes to play it out from the back and all the rest of it, and people will argue from now to doomsday about the correctness or otherwise of that, but that's his philosophy and it doesn't look like he's going to change it. But I think the classic old dictum in football is everybody has to win their individual battle, and I think that's what he has to do. Everybody in a dark blue shirt, unless they've played a change strip, of course, has got to win that individual battle against the St Johnstone side that will be fired up. Done well against St Johnstone anyway, but I mean, I never put much store by that kind of stuff.
As I touched on before, I think a fertile area could be the centre of midfield. Mm. I mean,
that's where you think Dundee are strongest.
I think Dundee are strong there, and they've got goal threat from that area.
You'd have Corcoran, you'd have McGowan in, you'd want to go to these type of guys.
I haven't mentioned Paul McGowan, he was another one, didn't appear at all in the squad.
And what was the chat about him?
He's to come back.
Was he supposedly injured?
Supposedly injured, nothing official, but we do believe he was injured. And, they've got McGowan there, you've also got your Marianga, as I said, Nguatala, and there's a few options there for Dundee in the middle of the park. So if they can control that area, then there's optimism. However, I mean, you just have to think about one goal for an early goal for Saints, and then it'll start getting anxious.
Or an early miss for Dundee.
The problem here is, I think I tipped him in my column last season for top six. Dundee should be a top six side. Mm-hmm. I mean,
budgets, they're probably about six, aren't they?
Yeah, and still potential support. I mean, I still think if you got a good, if Dundee were sitting top six for the next three or four seasons, their crowd would be backed up to 6,000-7,000. They've got that potential there. A lot of people are staying away for various reasons, but if you get them going, potentially they're a top six side. One interesting point we haven't touched on, they've got a new skipper, of course. Josh Meeks has been made skipper. Mm-hmm. Some people kind of underrate, I think, the effect a skipper can have in the park.
He wasn't a captain up the road, was he?
So either Neil McCann feels he's kind of grown into the role or he's got something to bring to it. So maybe interesting to see kind of whether he can boss things on the park at the weekend.
Yeah, because Neil McCann moved the role around. There was a few had a go at it, and he's obviously decided that Meekins is a man. He talks well to us. I don't know that that means very much to the fans, but he does talk well. He's done okay. But we'll wait and see what happens with that one. And they certainly need leadership, and they'll certainly need leadership at McDermott Park.
The squad, when you look at the squad, he's got, I think, a decent-sized squad. He needs somebody to put the ball in there, we know that. But again, it's kind of like I'm saying, I tipped him last season. I looked at him and I saw him against Dunfermline, and I thought, there's quality in that squad. So if there's quality, and Dunfermline didn't jump all over him that day, a combination of things, one. a lot of guys new to the Scottish game and all the rest of it, they've got to kind of be switched on mentally quicker and all the rest of it. They've got to fight for everything that they want to get. So, you know, quality is one thing, the mentality is another entirely. And I think that's an issue of the weekend. He's got to get guys to win those individual battles. Mainly, to me, that comes from mentality. I think there's a squad there with quality in it, particularly in midfield. And the same as you, unless there's some compelling reason that Cocker shouldn't have played, he would be back. So would McGowan in that midfield, because he to me, he's the kind of mainstay of the midfield. You know?
Yeah, I would agree.
He's
with
a battler.
That.
He's in about people. He's in about their ankles. He's nipping at people. He's playing. You know, he's one of these kind of unsung players, I think, sometimes. You know, I mean, people talk about Scott Brown. Have I seen better players in great Celtic sides? Yes, by the dozen than Scott Brown. But he fulfills a role that few people can fulfil. You know, he destroys people, he gets in about people, he nips their ankles.
He nips their ears, right, exactly.
He's a constant presence, and McGowan does that as well. So, you know, he's got the, you know, whether these guys are at the squad to kind of tober them up, to give them a, you know, to kind of G them up, I don't know. Maybe there are other compelling reasons, but I would think you would want them. But because the one thing that you that Neil McCann and Dundee fans don't want to see at 5 o'clock on Saturday night is played three, lost three. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a real danger. Then, I mean, I'm the same as you. I think it's far too early. And I mean, there's a fair chunk of me, Eric, that thinks that, you know, boards of directors have got responsibility sometimes. When they appoint a man, you've got to stick. I mean, I think I've got a columnist last season, Dundee, stick with McCann. You know, sometimes you've got to stick with your man. I mean, what you saw in him early on, you have, you know, you it's think, still, well, yeah. well, has yeah. that changed? You know, we saw that early on. Let's start, and it's very early in the season. I mean, a cup shock's a cup shock. It's happened to great sides in the past, you know. But the problem is, it's the oldest story in the world. The minute fans turn the pressure on that director's box, that's when the manager starts to get in the neck.
It's all in the hands of the players, isn't it? Yeah, it depends on they've got. They're the ones that just got to win a game.
Yeah. Well, about a fortnight ago, the talk was, and it wasn't Mike Martin's talk, but the talk was there all the same, and I think it was pretty well founded that if United had lost, certainly if they'd lost badly, Shabba Laszlo would have been sacked, and they didn't, and he wasn't. They got a good win, albeit I think they were holding on a bit towards the end, but it was a very good win, just having come back from Dumfries seeing Queen of the South against St Johnstone. They look like they're going to be the team that they were last year, sort of mid-table, possibly even pushing for the playoffs. But with United, Are they another bad defeat away from that sort of talk starting up again?
Well, I go first, Ian.
Yes.
I think, you know what, I think there's a lot being placed on the shoulders of Mr. Safranco, isn't it?
Pavel Safranco.
I saw his goal, you know, on YouTube. It looked pretty tasty, I have to say. You know, you look at him, there's him and Nicky Clark up front there. Looks potentially a good pairing. Look through the side again. The problem that I see at Tannadice, and you know, by the time the podcast goes out, there might be a 14th signing. There's a complete new side being assembled there. How often do you see it work? That's right. Now, I mean, you know, I would work on the basis, and this isn't a scientific kind of arithmetical conclusion, but I would work on the basis if you're signing 14 players, you'd be lucky if 60% of those work out. You know, two or three or four by the wayside with injuries. Some long term, some short term, two or three will turn out not to be nearly as good as you thought they would be. So right away, you know, that squad. And then of course there's the players that are there from last season that don't appear to be kind of rated at the moment. So there's big pressure here. I know that Mike, you know, Mike has you know, I can't approve this, but I mean the suggestion is of course that Stephen Thompson knew he was going and Mike was coming in to be chairman. So pretty much Shamba was Mike's appointment. You know. Now Mike has given him his backing publicly and all the rest of it, but that's one of these things you would expect him to do. That cannot go on forever. I mean, Dundee United simply must come up this season. I think you've written about this, Ian.
Yeah.
If they don't, I mean, your piece the other day in the Courier was very good about the kind of, you know, the various elements that have gone wrong. They've got to address and all the rest of it. And if they don't address them quickly, I mean, I'm not sure anyone will run away with this league. But you know, even at this early stage, Ross County to me look the most talented squad that I've seen so far. They also look kind of, you know, the most streetwise squad. I saw them beating Dunfermline. Now for a fair chunk of the second half, Dunfermline actually pummeled them, but they defended brilliantly. Their keepers hardly called into action. They did all their defending on the 18-yard line with blocks and, you know, and late tackles and all the rest of it, and they broke really quickly. And intriguingly for Dundee United fans, the man who absolutely bossed the show was Michael Gurdine, who was just spectacularly good, you know, tremendous, you know, but they've got players right through the side. So United have got to be able to compete at that level. Can they do it with an entirely new squad? I'm not sure. So, you know, again, I think if United lose on Saturday, it's Partick Thistle, isn't it? You know, United lose to Partick Thistle, I think there's the pressure on Shaba becomes really, really massive. And then the problem, of course, is you've got yourself into that big kind of problem again, in the respect that you've let a manager sign all these new players, you bring in a new manager who looks and goes, don't fancy him, I need X, Y, Z. Now, United's finances, Mike wasn't happy the other week at, you know, the guy who tried to buy the club, John Gibson, who tried to buy Stephen Thompson's shares. It's something he thought that John had said in the paper. I think he slightly misquoted him, but John was concerned about the financial future of the club. You know, I think everybody is, you know, now. What state the club is at the moment financially, who knows, you know. But it would not be helped. We haven't to get rid of the manager, because other coaching staff would go. You would undoubtedly get a new manager if that happened over the, you know, between, I mean, when does the window shut? The window shuts next week, you know. You might, you know, if you were moving to appoint a new manager at that stage, you might end up with somebody, you know, desperately trying to bring in two or three or four players. Either that, or you get a new manager come in and realises that the squad he's got just isn't capable of getting the team up, and then you go through the whole process again come January. That's the nature of football. I mean, so, you know, that's no criticism. It's very difficult. I mean, I think he was right to stick with Shaba Laszlo. You know, they've got a plan and all the rest of it, or Shaba has a plan. The problem is, you know, and having kind of seen football both as a journalist and then that wee spell inside, the problem is in football.
Inside, you weren't in the jail, Jim.
Fans, no, yeah, you know what I mean?
It was Tannadice.
That wee spell against Zoltan, you know. fans are not interested in 5-year plans or 3-year plans. They're not interested in 5-minute plans. You know, the attention span is 90 minutes on the Saturday. Unless the team performs on a Saturday, unless the team is scoring more than they lose, unless they're winning more than they lose, then quite quickly, they're turning their attention to the director's box, or they're just not going back, and that's a really concerning thing as well. I mean, the crowds, you know, I mean, that could be United's biggest crowd this season against Dunfermline, and Dunfermline have a huge support with them. That would be pretty worrying, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think a way to describe it is Mike Martin's gone all in on Shaba, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. I mean, he really has. And even before the Queen of the South game, what made me think even a defeat there that he would hang on was that they bought Safranco, who has a link to Laszlo, going back to his club in Slovakia. So they're backing him. Mm-hmm. They're backing Laszlo with players. But confidence in a manager erodes when the team doesn't win. And a defeat, I agree with you, Jim, a defeat on Saturday, and it resets itself, doesn't it? We go back to where we were before. Disgruntled fans. Only thing similar to Dundee's situation, it's all down to how the team plays on the park. They've got to save their manager. That's what they've got to do.
I mean, sometimes one player can spark it. You know, we're talking about the Finnish striker at Dundee, signed by we're talking about him. I mean, it might well be the case with Pavel Savranko that he sparks United into something. If he's got goals in him, you know, if he's going to score goals, then that might just be the spark. Maybe that, you know, I mean, I look around the side and I saw Lamba at Elgin City. Okay, it's only Elgin City, no disrespect to the boys up there, but he came on, I think, for 20-25 minutes in the second half, and immediately his touch was excellent, his movement was excellent, he was quite calm under pressure. But that's at that level, stepping up and doing it at another level. But he looked as though he had something about him, you know. He certainly looked as though he had talent and a bit of pace and all the rest of that. Fraser Aird, I think Fraser Aird, to me, was the unsung hero in the partnership with Nicky Clark at Dunfermline. Supplied so many of the crosses into the box and ball for him for the goal. Sam Stanton on his game, I think, is potentially a fine player.
Keeper
as well.
Keeper looks
alright.
Yeah. Rakovan. It looks decent as well, you know. So, you know, it looks as though there's the bones there then. There's quite a strong bench as well, and there's guys that, you know, it looks like there's a couple of guys that want to be away, that are knowing Shaba's plans. And to be honest with you, my view, never mind as a journalist, just as a fan, if there's boys at a club that are not happy, don't persevere, get them out the door. Because that seeps into the dressing room very, very quickly. The last thing you need in a dressing room is cliques, you know. So, I mean, it's early days. It's far too early. But it's that, you know, in football, it's not an arithmetical kind of precise calculation when you do the business. It's almost a gut feeling, isn't it? And if both the City sides emerge at 5 o'clock on Saturday night, coming off the back of defeats, then I think both boards have some serious thinking to do.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, you can look at United and say, well, where's the positivity? Well, I would agree with you, Will. Mm. But the wee snippet from going over to St Andrews this week was that we were speaking to a couple of players, and they were raving about Wemba and how good he is. He's looked instantly good in training. Also, Fraser Fivey is returning to training, full training next week, and maybe they're placing too much on his shoulders, but that would be a great boost for him. It's just whether, I guess, if you're Lasley, you're just thinking, am I going to get to the point where, you know, can I reach the point where we've got a team that includes Fivey pulling the strings in the middle of the park?
I mean, you know, the greatest managers in the game, Alec Ferguson, have been within inches
to be lucky
of the sack. I mean, I think it was Mark Busby that saved Fergie at Old Trafford. The board wanted Shaw. They didn't see any progress. The fans were on his back and all the rest of it. And I think Busby, pleaded for time for him. And all of us now, you know, I'm not saying Dundee United or Dundee or St Johnstone or Manchester United, but the principle remains the same. And that's why chairman, you know, whether it's Mike Martin or whether it's John Elms or Stevie Brown, you know, that's why chairman are in a very tough position, because they've got to listen to a million and one different views. You know, you've got one fan, sack him now, another fan, well, give him the next game, and you hear things like give him three games and all the rest of it. It's very, very tough, because he might, you know, the manager, whether it's any of the three we've talked about, might only be 90 minutes from actually, you know, putting a side out that you suddenly go, wow, what happened there? What a transformation, you know?
And Mike Martin's position as an employer, it's a very commendable stance to take. You know, I'm backing my man. I'm right behind him. He's not under no threat at all. That's a good position to be in. The problem is when the team doesn't win.
That's right.
And you end up with no choice.
The worry for United is, and you hear or read a lot of fans saying this, is that it's neither very good nor very bad. Shabba gets a win, maybe gets two wins, gets a bad defeat, a couple of wins, so we stumble onto you know, sort of Ray McKinnon type territory, possibly even past, and all of a sudden it comes to head and it's too late. So you can understand the school of thought where people want it either to be, you know, they don't want a shade of grey in this, do they? They want a shade of black and white.
Well, you know, it's sometimes there's a cloud in view. I mean, I met Raymond a couple of weeks ago. I bumped him in Dundee City Centre, and he looked like a man freed from Alcatraz, to be honest. He just looked like a man that was kind of, I mean, he was always a good looking lad. He looked about 10 years younger, you know, now he's done at Morton. But I mean, there is a darkness, or there has been a darkness about Tannadice, you know. I mean, I know that wee spell of consultancy I did there, and there's just, you know, there's so many factions fighting, and okay, eventually they got Stephen Thompson at the door, which is what they wanted, but, you know, the club had slipped such a long way that restoring that, you know, fans have to make their mind up as well. Are they going to back Mike Martin? Because you've still got someone saying, oh, well, he was with Stephen Thompson for 7 years and all the rest of it. Well, that's as may be, you know. Whether Stephen listened to anybody, you know, is debatable. We all knew him as a journalist, we know what he could be like, you know. So fans have to kind of make their mind up as well. Do we back the chairman? Do we back the board? Do we think they know what they're doing? They will hope they know what they're doing. I mean, football, you know, I mean, sometimes you're on the wing of a wing and a prayer. In football, you think that what you're doing is right, you're back, you're mad, but...
I think the United fans are desperate to back Mike Martin, and I think a lot of them do. It's the position he's taken over, the manager, most of them disagree with him.
Everything else he's done has been fine. I mean, I think, you know, there's been a lot of kind of small PR victories along the road, which I have to say a previous chairman was advised of many of them, didn't take them, you know, and he's done a lot of really good things so far. But the key thing, I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what PR initiatives you launch at any football club, and that we saw it with Celtic the other week when they failed to capture McGinn, and the sudden what looks like maybe a wee resurgence with Rangers. It's all about results on the park.
Yes.
If you get results right on the park, nobody gives a damn who's in the boardroom, what the boardroom's doing.
Right.
Even, you know, the financial troubles you hear at clubs, and all, they don't give a damn. They just want to see the team, you know, for the vast bulk of people, whether it's a bricklayer's labourer or a brain surgeon who goes to Tannadice, Dens, McDermott Park this Saturday. He goes there to get away from the cares of his work for 90 minutes, sit there, cheer his team on, get his frustrations or her frustrations away, and see their team doing well. And if they see good effort, another, I mean, they'll take defeat occasionally as well, you know. But that's what it's about. It's about results, and that's why there is pressure on Neil McCann and Shabba.
I think we'll know a lot more by tea time.
Yeah, I mean, one of you touched on, I think, just to wind this up, I think it was yourself, Jim, just with Sir Franco. And it struck me, and Ian will probably know better than me, he's interviewed most of these guys when they've signed over the summer. It was the fact that he was saying, I'm here basically, Laszlo is the big sell for me. And it gets you thinking, is how big a hand has Laszlo had in the signings? Is it, are they predominantly Paul Sturrock signings, or are they predominantly Shabba's signings, which, you know, going by the fact that only one of them's kind of come out and said, you know, Shabba's the guy that's persuading me to come. It's the history and all the rest of it, you know.
Yeah, but Sir Franco does have the link. Shabba actually signed them for...
no, exactly.
For his Dinushka Streda.
Good effort.
I'll take the correction on that.
Easy for you to say.
Do you think it's a combination?
I think it's a combination, but, you know, I think we all know that Luggy has had
he's a de facto director of football, isn't he? There's some fluidity built into situations like that as well. Him and Shabba, my understanding is that Shabba's perfectly relaxed in that situation.
I was going to say, he doesn't seem to be railing against it, does he? And we would know, wouldn't we, if he wasn't.
I spoke to Paul quite a lot during the course of kind of things when I was doing that wee bit of work there, you know, before returning to the sanity of journalism, you know. And Luggy was, you know, he still thinks he's got unfinished business, wants to help the club and all the rest of it. I think the simple truth of it is that, you know, it's a sign of maturity, I think, if a manager is prepared to accept somebody. I mean, Paul Sturrock, you know, played for Scotland, kind of played in European finals, you know, won cups, won leagues. I mean, you know, managed at high level as well, you know, managed at Wednesday, Southampton, you know, I mean, a guy with a fair pedigree. So, you know, it's a sign of maturity, I think. Either that or it's a sign of desperation. Shabba just needs help as well. We should all take help when we can get it. But I mean, I think the bulk of the players have been recommended by Sturrock.
Yeah, and Laszlo was going on record to say that he recognises that when he phones up and when Paul Sturrock phones up, you know, a club, it could be a different response. We'll have to wait and see. It's still early to judge the players. It's still early to judge the players, but unfortunately they need to start getting results, and that's as brutal as that.
Good. Well, thanks, lads, and hopefully we'll do another one of these podcasts in the near future. Thank you.